heritage.im.
Manx Radio's update with Lewis Foster.
Mastermind. Welcome along to Update on Manx Radio. It's 5 o'clock on Thursday, the 8th of May, and it's time for half an hour of the latest news on and from the Isle of Man. Coming up, as the island marks VE Day 80 years on, we hear from those who have memories of the day itself. Also tonight, we hear a tribute to the Manx veteran Chris Garrett, who died after an incident in Ukraine this week. And with just 18 days until TT gets underway, police are warning residents and visitors not to drink or drug drive. All of that and more coming up, plus the latest weather and sport for you, as well as what to watch out for on the roads this evening. First of all, let's start with the latest headlines with Simon Richardson. Fastamai, Simon.
Fastamai. Events have been taking place around the island today to commemorate 80 years since victory in Europe. It marked the end of the Nazi regime after its official surrender. The Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, led wreath-laying ceremonies in government office and at the Douglas War Memorial, just ahead of the national two-minute silence. A new exhibition celebrating the life and work of Manx photojournalist Leonard McComb is now open at the House of Mananin in Peel, coinciding with the 80th anniversary of VE Day. Through the Lens of War showcases his images from the closing stages of the Second World War, captured across Europe, Germany and Poland. Curator of Art and Social History Matthew Richardson says it's not often you encounter an archive that's virtually been forgotten.
And quite a challenge as well, to thin down, you know, these thousands of negatives that the family have into the 50 that we've got here in this room. It was quite an exercise to sort of distill that down.
The exhibition runs from the 8th of May today till the 5th of October with free admission and donations welcome. University College Isle of Man is asking businesses and landmarks to light up red tomorrow to mark a significant milestone. It's to celebrate 50 years since the opening of its Homefield Road campus and over 145 years since the founding of the Douglas School of Art. On now to the international headlines. Donald Trump claims the bond between the UK and the US is stronger than ever. The president says the final details of a trade deal are being written up, but just about everything has been approved. Sir Keir Starmer says it's proof that Britain is open for business. The Bank of England has cut the base rate of interest to its lowest level for 2 years. It's been reduced by a quarter percentage point to 4.25% following a slowdown in inflation. And the jury's gone out in the trial of two men accused of cutting down the Sycamore Gap tree. The former friends deny causing criminal damage to the Northumberland landmark and to Hadrian's Wall. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with more news at 6.
Guramayed, thank you, Simon. The weather now brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. The rest of today will be dry with sunny spells and a light easterly breeze. Minimum temperature of 5 degrees overnight. Another fine day tomorrow with lengthy spells of sunshine, light winds and temperatures rising to 16 degrees in the afternoon. Settled weather continues over the weekend with dry and sunny conditions persisting and temperatures around 17 or 18 degrees at best. Sunset tonight is at 2 minutes past nine. Sunrise tomorrow morning at 5:26.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 495149.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bigode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bigode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The time now is 5 past 5. Acts of remembrance have been taking place across the Isle of Man to mark 80 years since VE Day. The German surrender on the 8th of May 1945 ended the Nazi regime and brought the war in Europe to a close. Amy Griffiths has been hearing how Manx residents marked the historic day.
The 8th of May 1945. After almost 6 years of war, that was the day Britain and its allies formally accepted Nazi Germany's surrender.
Hostilities will end officially at 1 minute after midnight tonight.
And at Churchill's request, the country took to the streets to celebrate. I've been to Grovemount Residential Home in Ramsey to meet some of those who took part in those celebrations.
My name's John. I was 15. I remember it well. Although we lived in Bradford and we didn't have much damage there. And of course everybody was out dancing. I was quite happy that the war was over and everything was... we could get back to normal, really.
Hi, my name's Alan. The thing was, I got ready to go to school, and I was getting ready to go to school. My mother said, I think you'll be sent home. And I said, why? She said, well, I'm sure I just heard two men talking in the street outside. They're saying the Germans had surrendered. So I went to school, though, and they said, the Germans have surrendered. This is going to be called VE Day, and you can all go home. You know, you've got the rest of the week off.
I'm hoping I've got the right blue jumper. Is it Derek?
Yes, Derek.
Hi.
I remember my dad going to war and coming back and bringing 7 medals with him. And he was fighting the war in North Africa and in Malta. He was chasing the enemy troops there. And then he came around to England. I'm so proud of him.
I do remember VE Day. I'd just been left schooled about 6 months. I don't remember anything in particular except being kissed by absolutely everybody. How the bomb aimer said that he never knew how my husband got them back, because when they got back he counted there had been 52 hits on the aeroplane, and yet he got them back and managed to land somewhere as well.
Great to hear the memories of Jean, Derek and Alan all speaking to Amy there. Well, of course, commemoration events have been taking place across the UK and around the world today as well. The King and Queen, as well as the UK Prime Minister and other senior royals, attended a service of thanksgiving and remembrance at Westminster Abbey. The Very Reverend Dr. David Hoyle, the Dean of Westminster, led the service with a tribute to those who have died the death of honour. The BBC's Helena Wilkinson was watching the ceremonies taking place in central London.
In the May sunshine, MPs and peers, led by the speakers of both houses, processed silently from Parliament to Westminster Abbey ahead of the service. Parliamentary business was suspended, just as it was 80 years ago, after Winston Churchill announced Germany's surrender. Inside the Gothic Abbey, the sun streamed through the stained glass windows for a stirring service that honoured and paid tribute to the Second World War generation. Among the 1,800 guests were 78 veterans with their medals and memories. The King and the Prince of Wales laid wreaths at the grave of the unknown warrior. Letters were read, written to loved ones during the war. In a poignant moment during the service, 10-year-old Alexander Churchill, Winston Churchill's great-great-grandson, lit a peace candle. And in a symbolic gift from the younger generation to those who served, 6 children gave flowers to veterans in the nave. The service also included the choir performing Hubert Parry's Songs of Farewell, which was sung at the funeral of Queen Elizabeth II.
That's the BBC's Helena Wilkinson.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And it's approaching 10 minutes past 5. Tributes are being paid to Manx veteran Christopher Garrett, who was killed while working in eastern Ukraine this week. The bomb disposal expert from Peel has been described by his colleagues as a lovable guy completely dedicated to his work. The charity he co-founded, Prevail Together, worked to clear landmines and unexploded ordnance in the country. Board member and ambassador Sean Pinner told me that Chris had a love affair with Ukraine.
It's been a real shock to be to be fair, we're all absolutely gutted. You know, Chris was a big personality in Ukraine, and one of the first people I met when I came in 2018 who educated me in not just mine awareness, but also really my love affair with Ukraine and the culture and what it was all about. And, you know, it's a deep loss for us all here.
You got to see a side of him over there in Ukraine that many people won't have got to firsthand. What was he like out there, not just as a friend, but as a colleague?
He's a very lovable type of guy, very serious in his work, very professional and dedicated to Ukraine. It's obvious when you first meet him, he's dedicated so much of his life to clearing minds and mind awareness. It really is what he was all about. He met his partner here. They've had a child. So it's not just, it's the community here that's really shocked by it. He does one of the most dangerous jobs in the world you can do out here. It's an immense shock for us all here in Ukraine. That just shows on social media. You can see the following and the outpouring and what he meant to people here.
We know Chris had spent a lot of time in Ukraine since around 2014. How would you describe his love and relationship with the country?
That old saying about you fight for not the enemy in front, but you fight for the love behind. And that was endemic of his spirit, really. He loved the country, the people, the towns. It really grated him. The fact that mines were littered here and all the way along the front line. And that's where his commitment really was, to support the local communities here.
Sean Pinner from Prevail Together paying tribute there. Well, earlier today we heard from Chief Minister Alfred Cannon, who said, "I was shocked and deeply saddened by the news that Chris Garrett had died in Ukraine. Chris's heroic, selfless and tireless work in Ukraine over the past decade through the charity Prevail Together, of which he was co-founder and chair, has undoubtedly saved many lives and eased suffering. At this incredibly difficult and distressing time, my thoughts," the Chief Minister says, "are with Chris's family, his loved ones and colleagues." The time now is 12 minutes past five. You're listening to updates on Manx Radio. With just 18 days until the Isle of Man TT begins, police are warning residents and visitors not to drink or drug drive. Officers say males over 50 were involved in 85% of all serious injury incidents over the past 3 years. Superintendent Danny Rochell says anyone caught will face robust action.
What can we do to try and stop that? One, you will see a proactive policing operation, so we will be out there, we will be stopping and speaking to people, but it's not just about prosecution and targeting individuals. What we want to do is we want to educate people. I would be incredibly happy if when I come in on a morning and I look at the morning reports and look in the cells, that the cells are empty. Our road safety team will be on the boats. They will be interacting with a lot of the bikers, a lot of the people who are visiting, and making sure that they understand our approach, make sure that they understand our legislation.
Last year, the roads policing team had to warn or advise people on social media, you know, to be mindful of their speed limits, not to operate drones, and to be mindful of closed roads. Does it become tedious having to repeat the same messages to people, or what's being planned to kind of tackle this message differently?
I think sometimes there is the necessity to repeat the messaging because of the fact that the demographic of people that we see attending the island. Some people are attending for 2 or 3 days at a time. Some people are here for the entire fortnight, and we see spikes and peaks and troughs. So we do have to repeat that messaging. You've touched on a few of the key messages there that we will be reiterating again this year. People entering on closed roads. We did see a spike in that last year. So we've been working with the organisers, working with the marshals, making sure that we have the opportunity to make people understand that even though they may not see a bike coming, doesn't mean that the racing has finished. It doesn't mean that you can step out onto those closed roads.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
We'll head over to the roads now. In Douglas, temporary lights on Alexander Drive at the junction with Woodland Crescent, 24 hours a day for gas main repairs. Until Tuesday as well, temporary lights on Lake Road, 24 hours a day for patching works there. And in Laxey, temporary lights at the Norca Crossroads, 24 hours a day for work on the carriageway. If you're travelling off-island this evening, no problems currently at the airport. There's a 40-minute delay expected on tonight's Gatwick flight with EasyJet. We'll keep an eye on that one. Over on the sailings, Manxman is sailing back from Heysham as we speak, due to arrive back here in Douglas just before 6 o'clock. And Mananan will be arriving in Liverpool in just under half an hour's time.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5:15 now, and women are being urged to take charge of their personal safety as a self-defence training session is set to take place on the island. Trainer Amanda Kenny says women should not rely on others following rising concerns about safety.
The type of training that the women will be accessing is a training that was developed in the late 70s at the time of the Yorkshire Ripper. And so what happened was a group of women got together and they each did a different martial art. And they came back together and they sat down in one of the women's lounges and they wrote out all the a course that was built on women's bodies and the techniques and strategies that they would need to be able to keep them safe. And also what they realised, which was the most important thing, was the conditioning that women receive from birth. The minute women are born, we have a way of being conditioned into how to be a little girl and then how to be a young woman, and looking after other people, putting other people before themselves, and also being a good girl, which is a message that women receive very young in life, can have such an adverse effect on them being able to protect themselves. So what they realised was that we actually need to help women to build self-esteem, build confidence, and also have the belief that they have the right to be safe and the right to protect themselves, not to follow the conditioning of being a good girl. So the course that I deliver is psychological and physical. So during the 2.5 hours that women attend, we will look at some of the underpinning of women's self-defense and what are the building blocks. So we can't be relying on other people to take care of us. We have to, unfortunately, this is the state of the world and where we are at the moment, we have to take responsibility.
That's Amanda Kenny speaking there. Well, that event is happening on Saturday at the Laxey Working Men's Institute. Sign-ups can be found over at Manx Radio. It's free, but registration is required. All those details available at manxradio.com. Now, this week marks Dying Matters Week, a national campaign urging people to talk openly about death and bereavement. Organisers say understanding a loved one's wishes can make a real difference during difficult times. End-of-life counsellor Mandy Carser, who entered the field after losing her father during the pandemic, says honest conversations are vital.
I like to say it's the last act of love you can do for your family and those that you care about. If you were to drop dead on the spot now, does your family know whether you want to be buried or cremated? Do they know what music choices you would have, what type of coffin you might like, whether you wanted a private service or for anybody to attend? And then also there's things like bank accounts and...
So it's the practical side of dying.
All of that side. You know, passwords for all the different accounts you've got on the internet.
Can I just ask you, doesn't the debate about assisted dying impinge here? It has this added another level?
It hasn't really with the work that I have done. I know, you know, some of the people that I come across that have had a terminal diagnosis often say they, you know, they wish there was another option available to them. I can only speak from my own personal point of view, and I think it's good in a way that it allows people a choice, gives people a choice. But then I also see it from the other point of view as well.
So if you had to give a short message to people listening, would you encourage them to say, talk about your end of life? Don't hide it away in a cupboard. Talk about it.
Absolutely. Talk about it. Make your wishes known. Get them written down with a will. Let your family know. And then they can concentrate on grieving for you when you're no longer here.
End of life counsellor Mandy Carter speaking to John Moss there. 20 past five now. Plans have been submitted to construct an underpass between beneath Ballacutchel Road on the land adjacent to the Comus Hotel and Golf Resort in Mount Murray. If approved, the tunnel would link the two existing halves of the golf course, removing the need for players to use two existing road crossings, as Siobhan Fletcher reports.
Currently, in order to play 18 holes of golf, users of the course have to cross the road at two points, and the green staff also cross the road as part of their routine maintenance. The proposed underpass would be located adjacent to the golf club entrance and would be relatively small, with a clear internal cross-section of 2.5 metres by 2.5 metres. The plan states it would be largely invisible to non-golf course users, requiring minimal groundworks save for the circa 3-metre-wide cut under the road. Applicant Mark Emmington says the construction would form part of the hotel's preparation for its role as the designated hub for golf at the 2029 Island Games. This decision by the Isle of Man Golf Union is said to have accelerated the need for key infrastructure improvements to help ensure operational efficiency, user safety and course quality. The plans state the application seeks permission for the installation of an underpass between Ballacutchel Road to provide a direct, safe connection between the two halves of the course. The underpass is designed to accommodate pedestrian, golf buggy and course machinery traffic, constructed in accordance with appropriate civil engineering and highways standards. The existing access points would remain open. You can find a link to the full application at manxradio.com.
Siobhan Fletcher there. Now, there's more to come this evening in terms of VE Day commemorations. If you're heading over to the Villa Marina tonight, we hope you enjoy the festivities. And listen out for those bells at 6:30 at Peel Cathedral. Well, we at Manx Radio have been gathering residents' memories of that day in 1945. And Ballasalla resident Glenda Lightowler was nine at the time. She and her mother, Winifred Mary, moved to the island to live with a relative during the war for safety. Her mother, a matron at the Buchan School, wrote a poem about VE Day, which Glenda recites now for Manx Radio.
A fair blue sky and a blue-green sea. Bright blue were the frocks of the girls. Like sapphires, the eyes of the littlest ones sparkling beneath the curls. And under the haze, which was somehow blue, but softened the picture down, was the chalky blue of the stones of the quay and the blue slate roofs of the town. My heart should have leapt to this glorious scene, rejoicing in the view. Yet I couldn't respond to the should have been for feeling a little bit blue. My thoughts, they wing their way to where the grey dust of Cherbourg has filled the air and other villages beside the sea. No longer peaceful havens are in Normandy. I see in my mind's eye the trees blasted and broken, once green like these, the blackened turf where children used to dance, and what are now the battlefields of France, and where a million other brothers in blue-grey join with their brother nations, and they will fight on, not ceasing fire, till England has her blue days again and knows no ill.
Reading that, that's your mum's words. Reading that, what goes through your mind?
I can remember her voice. Her voice was quiet like mine. I think she's showing the contrast between the blue haze she's talking about and the grey haze in Normandy. I think that's what she's trying to get over. I just remember having this photograph taken. And then I think we were probably given a very nice tea. I seem to remember that. When we went home for holidays, the grandparents and that always had the radio on, always listening to the news all the time. And I do remember being frightened about the Germans taking our country over. So that was the degree to which I was frightened. I wasn't frightened so much about bombing, but the idea of it taking them, of course, when the Battle of Britain happened and it didn't happen.
And I understand your mum documented all of this.
You see, they're letters from my mother. She's very descriptive, my mother. She writes pages and pages. The blue bit of it was definitely about the uniform of the Buchan School children. And then she talked a little bit about my uncle being in Cherbourg. I only experienced, before we came over from Cheshire, I only experienced one raid, and it didn't come as far as Sale. I think it was quite a bad one. I think it stopped at Metropolitan Vickers. And that's when it was decided that we should come over.
fantastic poem recited there by Glenda Lightowler, speaking to Chanel Suku. You can find that interview alongside a transcription of that poem over at manxradio.com. Now, I'm going to bring you some very breaking international news in the last few moments, as white smoke has been seen emerging from the chimney in the Vatican. We know what that means. It means a new pope has been selected. Crowds have erupted into cheers in St. Peter's Square. It's not known yet who the new pope is. He's expected to appear on the balcony overlooking St. Peter's Square shortly. A senior cardinal will soon confirm the decision, saying we have a pope, and introduce the new pontiff by his chosen papal name. So to reiterate that breaking news, white smoke has emerged from the chimney at the Vatican. A new pope has been elected.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And I'm afraid to say it's not Rob Pritchard, but he is here with the latest sporting news. Fast am I, Rob?
Yes, fast am I, Lewis. First off, we're going to turn to motorsport. And just to start with, an important update on what occurred yesterday at the Northwest 200. Well, organisers have confirmed that TT competitor Craig Neave suffered significant injuries following an incident in qualifying at the Northern Ireland event yesterday. Neave was one of two riders involved in the incident at Mill Road Roundabout on the Triangle Circuit, which resulted in the Supersport session being red flagged. The injuries sustained by Neave and the other rider involved, Gary McCoy, are not believed to be life-threatening. Well, in an update to followers on social media, McCoy says this rules him out of making his TT debut in a few weeks' time and is thanking people for their support. Well, in today's Northwest 200 action, Peter Hickman will start on pole as part of an 810 Racing 1-2 in the Superbike class following today's final qualifying session for this year's event. Well, in a hotly contested class, Hickman topped the standings with a late flying lap, averaging 124.599 miles an hour to move ahead of teammate Davy Todd in second. Meanwhile, Dean Harrison, who'd led the Superbike timings for much of this afternoon, had to settle for third quickest in the end. Elsewhere, after just missing out on the top Superbike spot, Harrison did go on to claim pole in the Supersport class, as his average of 117.727 miles an hour was just enough to overcome Richard Cooper. Making up the Supersport top three was Todd on the Malenko by Paget's Motorcycles Honda. And along with securing two front row positions, Todd himself also bagged pole position during today's session in the Superstock class. His average pace of 123.19 miles an hour was enough to hold off Alistair Seeley, who went second quickest, and Hickman in third in what will be an all BMW front row. Well, the first three races of this year's Northwest 200 are due to take place this evening on the Triangle Circuit. Roads have now closed ahead of the opening four-lap Superbike race, which is getting underway in a few minutes' time at around 5:30 p.m. And finally, Michael Dunlop has revealed what machinery he'll compete on at this year's Isle of Man TT races. Dunlop, who became the most successful TT rider of all time last year, moving on to 29 victories, will run BMW powered 1000cc classes and makes a switch to a Ducati Panigale V2 for the Supersport.
Gromayed, Rob Pritchard. That's it for Update tonight. Chaclair is here next, and Michelle Kane is on from 6 o'clock with Greatest Hits. Remember, you can listen back to tonight's programme as a podcast shortly. Have a great evening. Update will be back at the same time tomorrow.